Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We are here with the Newsboys, who have a new album coming out soon, Hallelujah. And so we've got Jeff Frankenstein, Jody Davis. Duncan is with us remotely here. He's not with the rest of the crew. And I got to save Michael Tate for last, just the front man. You always get all the glory, so I've got to save you for last and just give a nod to the rest of the guys here.
Thanks, Jake.
That's so not true. That is so not true.
Okay, well, just because you have a spinning drum chair doesn't
That's really right. Yeah, it does.
I want to start off with the story of the first time I met you, Tate. It was back in 2011, I want to say. You guys were on the Born Again tour. And that's been a hot minute ago.
And yes, it has.
I was volunteering as a usher in the thing, had an all-access pass. We had the radios, all that. It was a good time. During the middle of the concert, you brought it down, and you were talking about Mama and all the lessons that Mama taught, and it was just a really good moment. And then all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, one of our other volunteers just screams into the radio. So that's blasting all across the floor. When a concert's going, you have these things turned up to 10 because you can't hear otherwise. So when you brought it down, now all of a sudden this is blaring across the whole thing. You're trying to minister. You're trying to talk about this heartfelt story. We continue the concert, and it's all done set. Being a DC Talk fan, I had a goal to meet all the members of DC Talk at one point in time. And so, like, I'm trying to see if I could finagle this after the show. And we finally get down. You're just kind of talking around. Talking, hanging out, and you guys kind of gave us a little bit of a grief about the radio going during Mama's time. It's like, so this is how I'm meeting Michael Tate, him giving me grief about ruining his time with Mama. It's like, this is not exactly
I remember that night, Jake. You were so annoying, dude. I was like, gosh, that Jake guy is annoying. I was like, hopefully I'm going to see that guy again.
That's okay. Usually whenever Tate's trying to break it down and bring it down low, it's usually Duncan's the one who's making all the
points. Really?
Points made there.
Yeah. That's another whole story, though.
Oh, man.
That's a cool story, Jake.
Since I'm leaving a good lasting legacy on you guys here, I think that's a good transition to talking about the legacy of the Newsboys.
Yes.
Newsboys has been around for 30 years. It's been a group that I grew up listening to. And of course, DC Talk, you know, Tate, you being part of DC Talk, that was an iconic band in, you know, the mid-90s as well, mid to late 90s. It's just so amazing to see how that impact has gone across multiple generations and how it's never wavered. It's never seemed like you're just clinging to the glory of the old days. It's ever moving forward. It's ever evolving.
Yes, Jake.
It was just amazing for me to see. I was on the Jesus Freak cruise in 2019. And
that was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
But yeah, so one of the things that I remember from the Newsboy show, there was a kid, he was 10, 11-ish, and he had a box of Captain Crunch. Peter brought him up on stage. The kid's trying to give Peter the box of Captain Crunch. Peter gives him the nod, you know, all that. And he's like, I'm trying to give this to you, man. Like, what do I do with this? And then he gets ushered off stage, still holding the box of Captain Crunch. And the kid was so confused, that poor kid. But just seeing that legacy of this 10-year-old kid, and I'm going to embarrass myself with the song name, but the Breakfast Club?
Yeah, Breakfast.
Yeah, Breakfast. I feel totally terrible because I grew up with that and I can't even remember the name of the song. But can you just talk about the kind of the legacy and the evolution of the Newsboys over the last little while? I mean, we had the Newsboys United here not long ago. Can you guys just talk about that whole legacy of the Newsboys and
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible. Like, I think all of us would probably say that we never imagined that when we all kind of assembled in Nashville
in our 20s,
and we were all in our 20s, that we would be in these chairs today. I never imagined a scenario in which I'd be sitting here with Michael Tate from DC Talk, you know? We always joke about it. Like,
it's just so freaking funny, dude.
Jody always says, like, if you think you know where you're going to be 5 years from now, whatever that thing is, it's probably completely wrong. And it's so true. Like, good this whole... thing has been such an adventure that I just get used to the unpredictability of what's going to happen next, and that's what feels most normal to me, especially after this. My dad's been telling me for years, "Well, son, what are you going to do when the band falls apart?" And I'm like, "Well, that was, Dad, I've been doing this for 27 years. So when are you going to stop this? What's your backup plan?" Oh, Dad, it's been a quarter of a century now. I think, it's a testament to how, first of all, our relationships are,
No,
I think
two ways about
what
it.
You have to have that kind of longevity is respect. You might not get along all the time. You might have your things here and there, but I think the guys in this band, and that extends even to our crew.
Yes.
You know, there's many people on our crew that have been with us for 20 years or more. And so it's a family situation, and there's a deep love and respect that we have for each other, and an enjoyment of what we do, a love for it that we just love. And, we consider, especially after COVID, I think we'll consider every day on the road from this day forward will be considered a blessing. I'll never look at it, even as tired as we get and as burnout as you get and as all that as you get, when it's all kind of taken away and then you're sitting at home for almost 2 years, you realize a lot of things, and you learn a lot of things about yourself and about your past and about and I think it's a deep love and respect for each other and music and all those things.
And I'll add to that. With you said the music part of it, for sure, staying consistent and trying to grow. Obviously, you can, if you just want to be a legacy band, you just put all the old songs and call it, Skippy, as we say. Call it Skippy. But we love chasing the art. We love being in season, out of season. Like, being fresh, being, as they say in London, being trendy. what's happening? What's trending? And not in the sense of, like, fruitless and weightless, so to speak, but having impact because we got our ear to the ground, listen to culture, listen to the sounds and music. What are people talking about? More importantly, what is God talking to you about as a band? And when you're writing songs and put that into words and music. So News Voice have that going from the Breakfast song to God's Not Dead to Magnetic. We just try to stay in all the air, just try to fill them up.
And I want to talk a little bit about United. One of the things that really just amazes me is you have Tate from DC Talk, then now we have Peter Furler and Phil Joel from the OG crew. Just seeing what happened through that whole project and the music that came out of it and the impact that made is just amazing for a music consumer for me to see, and from a ministry standpoint.
And that's what we did it, Jake. It was a moment, and we did it, and it was good for Peter and Phil, even for all these guys, because I wouldn't hear when these guys were together. But it's a testament to friendships and to the fact you could have two lead singers in the band and that be chaos and murder. But I think we finished our last show with them about
a couple of weeks ago.
It was a moment. Then it's back to 2.0 and new records, and who knows what the next 10 years will be.
It was a great time to rekindle relationships too, because when Pete and Phil left all those years ago, it was kind of chaotic at that time. Tate came on board. We kind of kept going, kind of kept in touch with those guys, but there was no active friendship there, so to speak.
Our paths didn't really cross.
No. But yet,
everybody was moving forward in their thing, and
we
just didn't really run into them.
But yet, we had spent all this time, 10, 15 years or more together, so, and all these memories and all these milestones.
And all the old songs you played.
And all the old songs and gold records and all these things. So, and I think in Peter and Phil's mind, they weren't thinking about where we went after that.
Yes.
They were thinking about all of that, and that kind of just stopped where it was. So, I had even talked to Phil for 10 years. We were on a flight, the same flight coming back from Las Vegas, and this was before the tour, and and Phil was like, "Hey, man, you saved me a seat," and we talked for 4 hours and caught up on our lives. So,
wow.
So if anything, I'm probably most grateful for is just having that friendship again. Yeah. Phil and I text, and we're buds again. And we're
reforging.
So that's a testament to God, even, you know, to relationships and stay in the course. And that's probably a whole nother podcast.
But I'm glad Peter's gone, because I want my lead position back again. See you later, Pete. Get out of here.
And that's exactly why we introduced you last, Tate. Right there.
I know. Thanks, Jake.
Duncan, I'd like to hear from you a little bit about just being a part of the OG crew, just what you've seen through the years, and, you know, with United coming in and that season. I'd just like to hear a little bit more from your experience.
Yeah, well, it was something that we thought that people might want to see. So it was kind of a little risky in some ways, but about 3 years ago, we thought, well, we're actually working on a song, The Christ Has a Final Word, and we needed a verse or a chorus. I can't remember which one it was. So we sent it down to Pete, because he's a great songwriter. We were struggling on a certain part. We sent it down to Pete. He sent it back a version of it with a scratch vocal, and we thought, man, this sounds great. We really love what you do. Would you want to sing on this song? Long story short, he did. Michael and Pete sounded really good together. But then we thought, we wondered if there's a part of our crew, especially the OG crew, that would want to see Shine, Breakfast, Entertaining Angels, some of those old hits again. So originally we just went out to do a few shows, you know, just to test the waters. The response was incredible. 3 years later, we just did our last one, which obviously was extended from COVID. So we didn't know how long it was gonna last, but we thought it would be a nice moment for that crew. For us too, I think, you know, I never thought I'd get to play Entertaining Angels again, or Shine, or Breakfast. So I think for me, it was a real treat. And I think for most of the fans, it was a real treat. Saying all that, we knew that there was a beginning and an end. And I think it naturally ran its course. It was a wonderful moment in time. And I think it's one of those things that it was a nod to the fans, to the OG fans. It's like, here we go. We're at this point now. We're going to respect you. We're going to acknowledge our OG fans. And we did that. And I think now it's time to move on.
You know, like with the DC Talk reunion, now it's too late. But like, we want to do it for us.
That's right.
Old Frankenstein, yep. Positive words of encouragement.
I mean, I feel like the staple of any Tate interview has to be the DC Talk conversation. And I was going to steer way clear of it.
Oh, don't worry, Jeff or Duncan will ring it out. Don't worry.
I actually have to leave in a couple minutes, so you can speak bad about me while I go.
Exactly.
Thank you for doing that for me, Jeff. I really appreciate that. But before we go too much farther, just pulling up that last legacy thread, my kid is a huge fan of Newsboys as well. I almost kind of got in trouble because she didn't know I was doing this right now. And so it's exciting for me to see that legacy. You know, the band that I loved growing up is now one of my daughter's favorite bands.
And oh, yeah.
Still
you get that all the time. I love it. Yeah.
Kind of transitioning into the new album, To Stand, that's coming out shortly, or, you know, if you're listening to this after October 1st, then it's already out. So I want to talk a little bit about the legacy moving into Stand. One of the things that strikes me is reading the bio about Stand and just everything that's happened the last year, some of the division, you know, all that kind of stuff. It just really brings me back to the conversation was still happening when I was a kid. I mean, Colored People is a song that stuck with me since I was, you know, 10, 15 years old. And
great song, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely great song. Can you talk a little bit about the heart behind what you guys have seen and put into this song and this album?
Well, Stan is a corporate, I think, message from all of us as men, as husbands, as dads, as humans on the planet, as believers. My dad, when I was a kid, my dad would say, son, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, and when I was a kid, I said, what does it even freaking mean? But then I realized, anymore nowadays, you have to choose a side, or a side's gonna choose you. And it's a fact. I've been faced with many, like most people, I'm human, like everybody else we're talking to here. You're faced with so much coming at you, inundated from social media, from news, fake or not, from life and the world and all the issues. When the rubber meets the road, and when times get tough, and they will, tougher times are coming to America, to our lives, period. Not trying to scare you, it's just a fact, read Revelations. But when you ask, what do you stand for? What's your magna charta? What is your purpose, what is your goal? Well, as believers, we don't have it together, and we are messed up without Christ, and sometimes we're messed up with Christ, but we're gonna choose to stand at the foot of the cross, because we know We are needy. We know we're in need of a savior. We know our God's not dead. We believe it. And the vertical must happen before life can be lived on the horizontal.
And so we've seen just so much happen over the last year. I mean, just with the political, the racial, you know, all the discussion about COVID.
Yeah.
It just seems unfathomable of what we've just been overloaded with. And it just seems like it has been an overload this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so true. I've noticed it in my own life where sometimes I'm overloaded with news or COVID news or whatever is going on. I don't even think about the things I used to think about that I enjoyed. I mean, for example, like I'm really into hockey in the NHL. Like, I don't even know what's going on. I've just been thinking, like, there's so much going on in the world. It's kind of overshadowed the things that we enjoy. It's a battle, like, because at the same time, you know, the Bible talks about being strong and courageous and not fearing, and fear not because it's pointless.
Yes.
And like, so for me, it's been a great season of just really digging into figure out what I believe. And I think that's why we've seen such a division, because I think there's been, even in Christianity, there's been a certain segment of believers that have just walked away from the faith.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the rubber has met the road for a lot of people. People that were kind of weak or
sitting on the fence
or kind of wanted to play it every different direction, play a card at each table just in case, that all of a sudden that wasn't like really possible to do anymore. So, and we've seen people that we've been friends with for, you know, 20 years just say, I don't believe this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like that to me, a lot of that's like, it really makes you think, like, well, if this,
what do I believe if this
guy could just walk away from it that easily and pretend like he discovered that Christianity is not true, even though it's been around for 2000 years and seems like it's pretty established.
Yeah.
Like, and this person thinks he's the guy who figured out that it's not true anymore.
Figured it out all,
all by himself. It's a really bizarre world we live in.
I think one thing we kind of suffer from by living in such a prosperous country is that we have the luxury to have that doubt.
Yep. That's right.
It's a lot more serious. You know, you think about Christians in Afghanistan right now and other places in the world, even in Russia, different places, China.
For sure.
I mean, you talk about rubber meeting the road. It's life or death in a physical way, you know, in those countries.
Yeah. Back to Stan, that really tests your faith and tests your resolve, because the first verse is, who will I be when trouble comes calling for me? Because trouble's coming after you. You know, life, trouble, struggle, the storm, the seasons, as we say in Christendom.
Yeah.
You know, where are you going to stand? Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan until they get hit. Mm-hmm. It's true. I love it. It's so true. It's like you get that first, now you go, oh gosh, wait, and, everything changes.
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
And reading some of the bio from this album as well, one of the things that really just jumped out to me was we have this real huge conversation around diversity right now in our country. Like I said, I think we have for a while, and it's been a continuing conversation. But one of the things that struck me is, you know, with the diversity is, it's not just necessarily, you know, black or white thing. There's the diversity of just different cultures and different people. Like I said, you've been talking about that for a while, you know, back since Colored People, Tate. Can you talk a little bit more about your heart for that diversity and for that unity?
Oh, man, that's one of my biggest things in life. That's the platform I believe God has put me on and I stand on with my brothers. I call it living integration, because the beauty of our race is found in the very diversity, the thing that people are threatened by because someone's different than they are. That is what makes us strong. It's a beautiful thing. We can learn, not to sound cliche, but we can learn to get along. It's like you hear all these songs about coming together and getting along and we're all the same. But until we believe it and live it out, we're gonna have to do more than just say it and less than we do it. It's just that simple. We actually do it and realize, okay, wow, this is a beautiful thing. We all bleed red blood, as Mendieza would say. So yeah, I mean, anytime I can talk about it from stage, more importantly, live it out. You know, Duncan and I are super close. When people see us together, and let's say they have a struggle with, you know, another race or culture, they see that, they go, wait, these guys can get along, you know? We can, it almost feels stupid and dumb and ignorant to be talking about it in 2021. It makes me so dang mad, because it's like, get over it, guys. We got COVID in the world. We got terrorists in the world. We got famine in the world. We got things to worry. This is the least. This is the least of our worries. We're human. The human race.
I think too, Michael, getting back to what Jeff was saying, I think the media has a lot to do with the perception of who we are as a nation. And
we shouldn't get along because we're different.
Well, look, divided we fall, united we stand. So if they can keep us divided, they can keep us controlled in a sense. You know what I mean? It gives them an axe to grind. But I think the country is a lot closer together than what the perception of the media tells it it is.
No question.
Because I think especially...
pockets, obviously pockets, you know?
Yeah, I think especially this generation, I think maybe past generations, there was division, of course there was, and we know that for a fact. But I think now, I mean, we would never have had our first black president if it wasn't for a lot of white people voting for the first black president, right?
You said that, buddy. A minority cannot vote a president in, you're right.
Well, there's only, 10-15% of the population is African-American. So if it was just the African-Americans, we would never have seen our first black president. Now, that wasn't the case. A lot of white people obviously voted for a black president. So I think we're a lot further down the road than what we're being led to believe. And I think there's a lot of people that have vested interest in keeping us apart rather than bringing us together.
I agree.
And just talking about it from a biblical perspective, from a Christian perspective, the song Stand, one of the things that I think has really changed for me in the last year or so watching this is not about picking a side. It's not picking, do I believe this over here? Do I believe this over here? But it's loving my neighbor, either literally next door or that person that's a different culture than me, whether it's a different race or if it's a different credo or whatever that is. You know, it's just about loving them for being a God's creation, for being a child of God, as opposed to whether I agree with them, if they're on my side or in my camp or whatever you want to say there.
Yeah.
You know, the Christ option, where you stand should be loving that person, whether you agree with everything that they do or not.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Who thought it ever worked? A white guy from Aussie and a black guy from D.C. being best mates in the world. I mean, this shouldn't work, right?
I know, right?
Because on paper, right, as far as what we're led to believe, I mean, there's no way that these two worlds are going to come together. Well, that's so not true. I think Michael and I in particular have a connection that's we're brothers.
Yeah.
We're just...
It's a bunch of hogwash, Duncan, the other side. That's right.
It is, man. At the end of the day. You know, I'm not ignorant to the fact that in years gone past, there's been some horrible things done between both races that should never have happened in the first place.
Yeah.
I understand that, and I don't want to belittle that. But we have to move forward. We've got to move forward. And the only way to move forward is for us to come together and say, look, I may not understand you. I may not understand where you're coming from culturally, but I don't care. I'm going to love you anyway. And I think that what you were touching on, Jake, is that's exactly where God wants us to be as a nation. Not say, hey, look at you. You look different than me, so I don't like you. That's very small-minded. It's very immature. And literally, I don't think it's how most of the people in this country think. That's my take on it anyway.
As we kind of start wrapping up the episode here, I want to talk a little bit about what went into the album. One of the things that went into this album was time, the gift of time that you guys have had through this crazy season. We got Duncan down here who obviously has hit the gym and got pretty swole through his gift of time. Just want to talk a little bit about what all went through into this album, having the time to sit and ponder and reflect and take a really good amount of time for this album.
Yeah, well, it really did. I think for the first time in the history of the band, we had an opportunity. Because we weren't touring, usually you're touring, you're gone for 3-4 days a week, you come back, you do your part, and then you leave again. So, and because there's so much time pressure, you tend to settle for less. But because we had the time, we weren't leaving all the time, we had an incredible opportunity to really go in and massage the music, massage the song, polish it up here. No, that's not good enough. Let's do it again. Let's rewrite this verse. It's just not good enough, because we had the time. And I think one of the wonderful things is I think we've done one of the best records. I think we've explored musical opportunities. I mean, we've got a reggae song on the record. We got something that maybe the Jackson 5 might have done. So we've really had the time to explore these musical avenues that Newsboys haven't done in the past. So I think it's a wonderfully well-rounded, one of the best crafted records that the Newsboys has ever done. And I think one of the, because we had the time, the band really immersed ourselves into it. And it's really, it's a great compilation of who the band is at this point in time.
As the old song, the old saying is, time waits for no one. And it's during COVID the same way. We had time, either we used it or we'd waste it. I was like, we cannot come out of COVID. I feel like if we came out of COVID without a killer record, thank you, God, for that. And when we had the time to really craft every song and massage the chorus, and if it wasn't right, we need to go back in and make it right. That would never happen in a touring year. Ever, never, ever happen. Now that we had this year off, of course, we were all terrified at first. We're thinking, oh, gosh, music over. Will there be more live shows? At one point, it kind of felt really bleak. But we kept our heads, our nose to the grind and said, God, this is a blessed time. Look at it that way. You get thrown tomatoes, what do? You make tomato juice. We all had COVID physically, and so we were challenged that way. But for the most part, it was the silver lining in the COVID cloud, this record was, and the time we had to put into it. I love serving our fans up with something special because they're so loyal, and they're we're all hungry for the word and for the message. So when God gave us this talent, let's be diligent and make the best art we can make. That's what we did.
Yep.
So I guess we'll kind of wind down. We'll close with, given this gift of time here, what did you guys learn personally? What was the personal effect of you guys having the extra time?
It made me slow down. Because people that know me, I'm usually going, I'm like a bullet, man. ADD, HDDDD, ADD. I'm on it. I'm doing it. I'll see you tomorrow kind of thing. And it made a guy like me slow down because the whole world did. Jake, we all had to go, what in the heck is going on? It affects a lot of people mentally. I mean, mental health in America rose. I forgot that. I saw some numbers the other day. It was pretty shocking, which proves, once again, I'm going to get political here, but we're not meant to be locked down, you know, over this long period of time. I don't care what's going on. You know, the flu's in the world. You know, there's all kinds of, in other words, we can't let this thing change our lives to this point. But that's another ballgame. My point is, it made me stop. And it made me reconsider all kinds of things. My walk with God, my life with my friends. Do I love people well? Where do I stand on issues that I might have flip-flopped on, I might have ridden the fence on? But knowing that life came down to a point, like COVID brought some clarity to us all, believers and non-believers, that, hey, life is short and times are dark. So you do the math.
I think for me, this was the longest period of time since the band started where we haven't toured constantly. Mm-hmm. Moved into a new house and a new property. It was nice to be able to spend the year and a half like making it a home mm-hmm. instead of being gone most of that time. And to be there with the family and the kids, and it was a rejuvenating sort of thing. I mean, for me, it wasn't. COVID has not been. I mean, I'm an introvert, so hey, it was like all right. Great. Everything's locking down. All right, well, my life didn't change. But the only thing that changed about my life is that I didn't leave 4 days a week to go on tour.
Yeah,
I was just there with my kids, my wife.
Which is kind of cool at first, and then it got.
Well, yeah. I mean, you do got to make a living, so there's that aspect of it. But I actually, it was a very positive experience for me. But you know, it also made us really appreciate touring and what it is we actually do. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm ready to get back to it.
Come on.
Well, we appreciate you guys spending the time with us here, and we're looking forward to the new album. And the tour that's coming out, two tours actually.
Yeah, that's right. Going out with Frank and Graham. We'll be doing 8 dates, I think, with Frank and Graham coming up
here in a week or so.
Yeah. Yeah, so excited about that.
Rock and roll.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.